You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Ken Rudin's Political Junkie. Tonight, Ken and his guests look at the recount efforts in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania and where they fit into the national political landscape. Plus, a look at the death of Fidel Castro and his long, contentious relationship with the United States. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, talking about the recount in Wisconsin, earlier today, a coalition of super PACs supporting President-elect Donald Trump filed a lawsuit to halt the current effort underway here in Wisconsin.
The recount officially began yesterday and was funded through a donation campaign by Green Party presidential nominee Jill Stein.
Laurel White is here with the latest news on that. She's a state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Laurel, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Laurel, which groups in particular are calling for the recount to be halted?
So there are two super PACs that filed the lawsuit late last night, the Great America PAC and the Stop Hillary PAC. And these are both super PACs that supported Donald Trump's presidential campaign. And then one actual individual Wisconsin voter is also named on the lawsuit. His name is Johnson, but not to be confused with the senator from Wisconsin.
That was my question when I saw it. I thought it was Ron right. Johnson, but he's not. So this is an individual voter, just a single voter.
That's right.
And tell us about the reasons, the grounds for this request.
So they have a few different arguments. They're saying that the recount is in violation of some equal protection requirements. They're also saying that it risks Wisconsin not being able to report its votes on time to meet a federal election reporting deadline. And they're also saying that the Wisconsin recount, in combination with some other recounts that are going on across the country in Michigan and Pennsylvania, has the potential to undermine the legitimacy of Donald Trump's victory in the election.
And what has Jill Stein's Green Party campaign had to say in response to this?
Well, I spoke with a lead lawyer from Stein's campaign earlier today, and he's really calling this a baseless lawsuit. He doesn't find any of their arguments valid. And, they're questioning why the winner of this election would have concerns, particularly a winner who had expressed concern about voter fraud, with verifying these votes and making sure that everything was as it should be.
And who gets to decide whether or not this is a request to halt the recount that gets some traction?
So this was filed in the Western District Court of Wisconsin. That's a federal court. And there's been a lot of movement on that today. The first judge it was assigned to, Barbara Crabb, recused herself. We don't know why. It was reassigned to Judge James Peterson, who was the judge in the voter ID hearing that some folks might remember from the summer. And he just issued his order, probably about 30 minutes ago, saying that he is denying the motion to immediately halt the recount. That's what the folks wanted, was to immediately halt the recount. And he scheduled a hearing for late next week on Friday to decide whether it will be halted at that point after he can hear some arguments and get some briefing papers in.
Well, at that point, it's pretty close to the deadline, isn't it?
It's very close to the deadline at that point. The deadline for the recount set by the State Elections Commission for counties to report their results in is 8 p.m. on Monday night. And the federal deadline that folks are talking about is on Tuesday, the 13th. So the hearing on this is just 3 days before the recount is scheduled to be completed.
So the bulk of the work presumably would have been done by then if it's on track.
Exactly. And that's a big point of contention. I mean, some people are saying the Trump campaign has said that they're concerned about meeting this deadline. Obviously, that's a part of the lawsuit. So we don't know how much is going to be done by the time we get to 9 a.m. on Friday, which is the time that the court hearing has been scheduled. But presumably, much will be done because clerks will have had almost the entirety of next week, and many are working through the weekend to retally those votes.
And what has the Election Commission said about all of this so far?
Well, the Election Commission has been mostly silent today. They tweeted this morning, actually, saying the recount will continue unless a judge orders otherwise, basically reassuring county election officials and telling them to keep at work, to keep tallying those votes until they heard that they should stop. So,
and Laurel, you've been observing some of this recount process. What have you been seeing?
That's right. I spent some time in the Dane County headquarters for the recount yesterday. And it's a lot of paper shuffling. It's not incredibly exciting. I think the most remarkable thing that folks have been chatting about a lot is the fact that there are representatives from each presidential campaign. Any presidential candidate that was on the ballot can have two people there to watch the recount proceedings to ensure that things are going as they think they should. Votes are being tallied as they appear, things like that. So I found that to be very interesting to see the different players that are present at a presidential recount. And of course, this is the first presidential recount that Wisconsin has seen. So this is uncharted territory that we're experiencing right now.
Well, to be continued next week. Laurel, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Laurel White, State Capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, and she was with us there to talk about the challenge by some Trump supporters and super PACs to halt the recount effort that's currently underway in Wisconsin.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you support the recount, or do you think that voters should move on in the wake of Hillary Clinton's post-election concession? What do you make of this recount? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation here on Central Time. Mordecai Lee of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee will be with us in just a little bit.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation about the recount going on in Wisconsin and the legal challenge announced today by pro-Trump super PACs.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the recount is a good idea? Should it continue? Will it help ensure the validity of the election? Or do you think it's a waste of time and resources? Maybe it calls into question the validity of the election. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Mordecai Lee joins us now. He's a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, specializing in government and politics. Mordecai, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much, Veronica.
I want to ask you, this has been obviously a topsy-turvy time, especially in terms of what the candidates themselves are saying. I mean, how do you see this right now? Is this a recount, an exercise in how to uphold democracy, or is this recount a tool to undermine democracy?
Well, it seems to me that a recount is part of the election process. After all, when you go through the Wisconsin election laws, there's a section on recounts. And in fact, earlier in your newscast, there was a story about the results of a recount in the state Senate race in western Wisconsin in La Crosse. And so this is a very matter-of-fact kind of activity. And especially when there are close races, it seems to me that not only is there a logic of just sort of wanting to be sure you got it right. After all, that's why a candidate can get a free recount if the original canvass is within 0.5%. But also sometimes it's the momentum of political campaigns that a candidate personally might think he or she, let's say, has lost, but they're really fervent supporters think that maybe there's an outside chance a recount would change things. And sometimes sort of to satisfy the exuberance of one's supporters, you support a recount, and then sort of once it's finalized, they have the certainty that there was no mistake being made. And so it's a kind of a closure process. I think it's part of democracy.
And what do you think of the more recent legal challenge to the recount?
Well, I suppose we need to read it on its face. In other words, that the Trump people are against a recount, presumably because they feared that it will affect the results of the presidential election, either that, let's say, Wisconsin won't finish the recount in time to be counted for the Electoral College, or perhaps even fearing that there's a possibility of a miscount, that it will reverse the results of the election. Just like a loser in a close race would want a recount, the winner in a close race would not want a recount. And so I think we probably need to view it in that perspective.
I mean, do you think that there's something to the fact that, as one of our earlier guests said, that a lot of unlikely things happen during this presidential election, and so even though it seems very, very, very unlikely that anything could happen, that it's worth looking at and doing as an exercise in democracy because I guess there have been a lot of improbable things that happened.
Oh, Veronica, I'd go even farther than you. I'd say this has been an unbelievable year of democracy and elections. I mean, a year ago when some when I was being interviewed, I never would have guessed that we would have been in this situation. And so democracy is unpredictable, and I think this is just a fair way to play out the process. I presume that Donald Trump is going to win the recount in Wisconsin. I presume the Electoral College is going to elect him formally as president. But there's nothing wrong with a recount of sort of just being sure. And I can tell you, Veronica, I once participated in a recount. It was a state senate race up in Eau Claire, way back in the 80s. And I was an observer for one of the candidates, and there was an observer for the other candidate. And it was a very routine activity. The clerks would flip over one vote at a time, and I would look at it, and the other observer would look at it. We couldn't touch the ballots. Sometimes we'd say we'd like a closer look. Sometimes we'd ask that it be put aside. But there actually rarely were disagreements. It's pretty clear what the intent of the voter is, and that tends to be the legal standard. What was the intent of the voter, even if they didn't dot all their I's and cross all their T's?
But, Mordecai, on the other hand, I mean, just briefly, I want to get to our callers, but isn't it also destabilizing because you have a segment of the population wondering if the election is rigged, wondering if the election was hacked, and what if this is the new normal and every time there's an election we have to go through this?
Well, in this case, it seems to me the Wisconsin Election Commission is very aware of the December 13th deadline and has delegated to clerks the decision whether to do a hand count or a machine count. So I think it's highly improbable that the Wisconsin recount won't be done by the 13th, and even more improbable that the Wisconsin Electoral College delegation would not count in the presidential election. So I think everybody sort of needs to take a deep breath and everything will work out.
We're talking right now with Mordecai Lee, professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, where he specializes in government and politics. And let's go to a caller now. Jerry is with us from Scales Mount, Illinois. Jerry, hi.
Hey, Veronica and Professor Mordecai. I've got a different perspective about this, and it's based on the recent history of the Republican legislature and Scott Walker maneuvering around election issues. Number one, suppressing voters by legislating these extreme voter registration ordinances or whatever they refer to. The other thing is the gerrymandering, both of which have been in federal court, and the federal judges have said no. So for me, here's a state rights federal kind of interface, and here's my what I want to leave you with this. We need a post test. The Republicans have been railing for years about voter fraud in Wisconsin. This is a perfect way for nationally and the citizens of Wisconsin to see that whether there's been a fraud that is perpetrated by the Republican legislature. Let me leave it at that, okay?
Jerry, thanks for that. And Jerry's saying that there has been the case made by Republicans in the state that there is voter fraud, and this is a case for the voter ID law to make sure everyone who's voting should be voting legally. Is this a different angle to take this from, Mordecai?
Well, it's a larger perspective and certainly one that can be debated. But right now we've got a very specific issue, and that's who won the results of the Wisconsin presidential election of those people who voted, and to count carefully to be sure that the initial count was right. I think that's all right. I believe there was a case in one of the suburbs in Milwaukee where it turns out that a voter had cast two absentee ballots. In other words, she had tried to vote twice. And so there's a situation of the very unusual occurrence of voter fraud, in other words, of voting more than once, but not impersonating somebody else. So I think this will work out. I think by the 13th, everything will be really tied up in a nice, neat bow.
Jerry, thanks for the call. We're going to go to Kyle in Muskego next. Kyle, hello.
Hello. I wanted to say first that I have nothing against the recount. I think it's a perfectly valid way to make sure that everybody's voice is heard and everybody's voice is counted for. That I'm not against that. But what I do find funny is how during the election and the debates, when Trump implied that he was worried about voter fraud and tampering with the results of the election, everybody was appalled that he would imply that the American democracy might not be legitimate. And then the moment he won, those same people were so appalled that he won that they were even talking about doing away with the Electoral College entirely because they didn't think the American democracy system was fair anymore.
Kyle, thanks for that. I know there have been some seeming reversals of position during this whole exercise in our electoral process. And Mordecai, what do you think about the twists and turns in all of this?
Well, I think, Veronica, you're right in your observation, as is Kyle. And essentially what both of you are saying is we don't, and as Americans, we don't like politicians who have double standards. In other words, if something favors them, they're in favor of it. And if something goes against them, they're against it. And they can turn around on a dime. In other words, that they take positions not based on principle, not based on unchanging philosophy, but rather based on what's in their interest at that moment. And I think that, whether we're talking about Republicans or Democrats, I think Americans, and especially Wisconsinites, really can't stand that.
Right, and I mean Hillary Clinton as well, when Donald Trump was saying, implying that the election would be rigged, there were a lot of Democrats who were upset that he would challenge the elections, and so things have played out in a really interesting way. Kyle, thank you so much for that call. And we're going to take another call now. We've got Rick joining us in Amory. Rick, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to share?
Well, my concern is that, to me, it appears that this whole recount effort is purely partisan. It's nothing to do with verifying the sanctity of our voting process, yada, yada, yada. And largely because it focuses on the three swing states that could tip the election one way or the other, and if they were truly interested in verifying the accuracy of our voting, then why aren't they looking at Nevada? Why aren't they looking at New Hampshire? Those states were equally close in terms of margins, but oddly enough, they're not looking at that. They're simply looking at the big states that were the swing states. So to me, it smacks of partisanship, rank, raw partisanship, and not an altruistic desire to determine whether or not our voting process is fair. And I would also make a point on this hypocrisy issue. I don't see it the way that it's been painted. Initially, the Democrats were horrified that Trump had the audacity to suggest that he was concerned about whether or not the voting would be fair. He was addressing the illegal immigrants and people not being properly vetted for voting.
Rick, thank you for those thoughts. And Mordecai, what's your take on that?
Well, I think it's true that everybody is baffled by the role of the Green Party because, based on their challenges, as Rick pointed out, if in those three states all the recounts were to reverse the initial results, then we'd have a different president. Now, what's so odd is that Jill Stein, as the Green Party candidate, one could say by being on the ballot, she hurt Hillary Clinton from getting elected in the same way that Ralph Nader hurt Al Gore in Florida all those years ago in 2000. So this is somewhat bizarre, but I think Rick is right that Mr. Trump's campaign wanted to challenge some close results in states that ended up going for Mrs. Clinton, he had the right to do it. He could have done it. Apparently, he opted not to do it. So I think this is playing out in the way of politics, and that's sort of winners and losers.
Rick, thanks a lot for your points there. And we go next to Jocelyn in Sheboygan. Jocelyn, hi.
Hi. I agree with the recount. I think they should have a robust recount. And I've been wondering since all this happened, since it was asked to have a recount, is why the right-wing people are so upset. What are they afraid of?
Jocelyn, thanks for that. And Mordecai, what do you want to say to Jocelyn about her comment?
Well, I guess I'd say welcome to the world of politics. And to a certain extent, this is very American in the sense of the only thing that counts is who wins and who loses. And we as Americans love winners. And so the recount is an attempt to sort of get some finality on that. We have to remember that there has been a statewide recount just recently. That was in 2011 in the Kloppenburg Prosser Supreme Court race, where Ms. Kloppenburg lost to the incumbent, to David Prosser of the Supreme Court, by less than 0.5%. And within her legal rights, she asked for a recount, and there were some minor variations, but the recount did not reverse who won and who lost. And if I had to make a prediction, I would say it's likely the same thing will be happening this time around.
Jocelyn, thank you for calling. And Mordecai, after the election, one of the narratives was that this was a brutal election. People were very upset about what happened. A lot of pieces about how you could get through Thanksgiving with your relatives without fighting and arguing and walking away from the table. Partisanship seems deeply entrenched. And now you have the recount, which is sort of prolonging the agony in a certain sense. So does that make it harder to come together if that's the goal, or at least to heal and move on?
Veronica, I think one of the reasons why there's been exactly the phenomenon you've been describing is that the election turned out opposite from what just about everybody was expecting, opposite from the polls, opposite from the pundits, opposite from all of the statisticians. And so it truly was a shock. But American elections have often been emotional. You can go back to Gore versus Bush, the younger Bush. You can go back to the election of Harry Truman coming out from behind and winning against Dewey. And frankly, the rhetoric against Franklin Roosevelt by Republicans is sort of appalling to the modern ear. So I think this is a continuation of the emotion that people invest in politics, and the not just the symbolism, but the tangibility of how a president can make a difference.
Mordecai, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica.
That was Mordecai Lee, professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, where he specializes in government and politics, talking about what's happening as we process the recount and what comes next. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.